My name is Ben Bailey, the minister for the Central Church of Christ. We're so glad that you've joined us for our broadcast today.
And because my word shall hiss forth, many of the Gentiles shall say, "A Bible, a Bible, we have got a Bible, and there cannot be any more Bible." The Book of Mormon, 2 Nephi, chapter 29, and verse 3. The Book of Mormon claims to be a companion with the New Testament. It claims to teach that which the Bible teaches, to be coinciding with the doctrine of the New Testament, and yet, as the passage we just read suggests, the Book of Mormon often mocks the Bible, mocks God, and is in direct opposition with the teaching of Christianity. The Bible claims to be complete, and yet the Book of Mormon mocks that. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, 2 Peter chapter 1, and verse 3. And God, who is the author of the Bible, who said it is complete, is also mocked by the Book of Mormon and those who hold to the teaching of God's holy word, the Bible. Today we're going to examine Mormonism. We're going to look at its evidence and see if it is really from God, if it is another testament of Jesus Christ. As in all our lessons, we want to look fairly at what is said. We want to see from the sources from which it comes so that we can know and so that we can understand. These things are not being made up. These are actual accounts of the evidence so that you can search the Scriptures and decide for yourself. Well, what is Mormonism? Where did the Mormon religion come from? Supposedly, in the years between 1820 and 1830, in Palmyra, New York, a man by the name of Joseph Smith received golden plates by the hand of the angel Moroni, and on those plates was written another testament of Jesus Christ, which was specifically given to Native Americans, supposedly, to bring them to the knowledge of Jesus. Well, is this something that's trustworthy? Is the Book of Mormon from God? You can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Book of Mormon, that Joseph Smith and the Book of Mormon are not from God, and that it is not compatible with the teaching of the New Testament. How can we know that? There are three ways today in which we are going to prove that Mormonism is not from God. Number one, we're going to notice that Joseph Smith is a false prophet and that he cannot be trusted. Secondly, we're going to look at the Book of Mormon and examine its evidence and see that this is not a book from God, perfect, infallible in every way, that it's made by men. And thirdly, we are going to see that the Book of Mormon is in direct opposition to and contradicts the clear teaching of the Bible. Let's begin by thinking about the character of Joseph Smith himself. Even before he wrote the Book of Mormon, Joseph Smith was well known as being a mystical treasure hunter. In fact, Joseph Smith was actually tried in court in the case of Joseph Smith versus the state of New York. And in this case, he was found to be guilty of being a disorderly person, an imposter who claimed to find buried treasure by looking into stones. Now, this gives us a little info about his character. Even before he wrote this book or claimed that it was from God, he was already tried and convicted of being disorderly and someone who claimed to find buried treasure but really find nothing. He was an imposter. That's how his character is held up, and multiple sources cite this, and the actual court documents have been found and cited by many sources. And so his character, even from the initial outset, is not something that is trustworthy. But Joseph Smith, apart from his character, can be known to be a false prophet. One of the wildest of all of Joseph Smith's prophecies concerns the moon. Here's what he says. Joseph Smith made up a story that the moon was actually populated by people who were 6 foot tall, dressed like Quakers, and lived to be 1,000 years old. Don't you think about that for a minute? The moon's populated, he said. It's got people who are 6 foot tall, and these people live to be 1,000 years old. Is that really true? Of course not. We know the moon is not populated. We know it doesn't have 6 foot tall people walking around that live to be 1,000 years old. That is a blatant lie and a false prophecy. How does the Bible teach us to deal with false prophets? Notice what the Word of God says in Deuteronomy chapter 18. I want you to look in verse 22. The Scripture says, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. And so what does God say? If a prophet says, I've got a message from God, that doesn't come true, you can know that man's not a prophet of God and what he said's not true. Joseph prophesied it. It wasn't true. We know it's not true. He is not a prophet of the living God. Well, let's give another example of Joseph Smith as a false prophet. In the journal by David Whitmire, who was a follower of Joseph Smith is accounted as prophesying that God told him to send David Whitmire and Oliver Cowdery to Toronto, Canada to sell the copyright to the Book of Mormon. These two men went up there. They were unable to sell that copyright. They returned and questioned Joseph Smith about that revelation. Joseph's answer, which is recorded in this man's journal, is probably one of the only true things he ever said, and it is a striking statement about all of Mormonism. Here's what he said. Joseph, in response to them not selling that copyright, which was given as a revelation from God, said this, some revelations are of God, some revelations are of men, and some revelations are of the devil. I want you to stop and think about that a minute. Joseph told them, I received a revelation from God. Here's what he told me. You two get your wagons ready. We're going up to Canada and we're going to sell the copyright to this. They get up there and they couldn't do it. And they said, hey, I thought you were a prophet of God. We got up there and your revelation didn't come true. Give an account of that. He said, well, sometimes they come from God. Sometimes they're of men. And sometimes they're of the devil. Now, friend, that is a striking statement about Joseph Smith as a prophet, supposedly, and about the Book of Mormon. How do you know, if that's the way he believed, how do you know what's from God, what's from men, and what's from the devil? Here's how you can know. Deuteronomy 18, verse 22. Notice again what the Bible says. Scripture says, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. You can know it's of the devil, not of God. It's of men and of the devil because it didn't happen. It's proof that Joseph Smith is not a prophet of God. And so here's a second false prophet, false prophecy that he made. But then there's a third one. In Oliver Cowdery's journals, he records of Joseph Smith that he prophesied that the Lord would return in the year 1835. 1835 came and went. The Lord still hadn't returned. He makes another prophecy. The Lord's coming in 1843. 1843 comes and goes. The Lord didn't come. Well, he changed it again. The Lord's coming finally in 1891. 1891 came and went. And the Lord never came. What can we know about Joseph Smith? If a prophet speaks a thing in the name of the Lord, and that thing does not come to pass, you can know the prophet has spoken presumptuously, not in the name of the Lord, you shall not be afraid of him. Joseph Smith is proven to be, from his prophecies, a false prophet, a liar, and not one who can be trusted. If on multiple occasions he told things that didn't happen and even confessed some prophecies are of men, some of the devil, why would you ever want to put your trust in someone like that? There's a man who is blatantly telling things that are not true. And so he is a man who is known to be a treasure hunter of a mystical spirit who couldn't be trusted and who told things that just weren't from God. Don't put your faith in someone like that. Secondly, you can know that Mormonism is not true because the Book of Mormon is not the product of God. It is the product of Joseph Smith, and it is not a trustworthy book. In fact, in the original 1830 title page of the Book of Mormon, one can clearly see where the book comes from. Notice this copy of that 1830 title page. Look at what it says. Notice in the small print, it says clearly, if there be fault, they be the fault of men. Now, doesn't that tell you a lot about the Book of Mormon? If there be fault, it be the mistake or the fault of men. Why would you place your whole faith, your immortal existence on a book that claims, maybe, if there's something wrong, it's from men. The Bible doesn't make those claims. It claims to be the perfect will of God, free of error and absolute truth. John 17:17. And notice at the bottom of this title page what it says. Joseph Smith, author and proprietor. This is not another revelation of Jesus Christ. This book is not from God. Joseph Smith is the sole author and proprietor. He made it up. It was his fabrication. This did not come from God, and the original 1830 title page confessed that as truth. We need to realize that the Bible is from God. It claims that every word is from God. Notice 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. The Scripture says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. How much Scripture? All Scripture is inspired of God and it'll make you complete. Now, let's take Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, and let's compare that with the idea of another gospel. Can there be another gospel? Listen to the words of Paul in Galatians 1, beginning in verse 6. The Bible says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different or another gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Now listen, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we've preached, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Joseph Smith claimed the angel Moroni brought down another gospel, and yet the Scripture says, even if an apostle or an angel came and did that, you were not to accept another gospel. Here's the striking truth. The Book of Mormon is another gospel. It is accursed, it is not from God, and it cannot be trusted. Now, let's see the evidence that shows that. You can know the Book of Mormon is not from God because it defies simple science. For example, in Alma chapter 24 and verse 16, the Book of Mormon says, burying swords in the earth will actually keep them bright and unrusted. Now, it doesn't take much common sense to know that if you take a sharp metal sword, bright metal sword, and you bury it and leave it in the earth, is it going to get brighter or is it going to get rusty? Well, the simple rules of science tell us you place metal in the ground, metal is going to get rustier, not brighter. And so it doesn't make good common sense even with science. When the Indians accepted the Mormon teaching, the Bible, the Book of Mormon says in 2 Nephi 30, verses 5 through 7, and 3 Nephi, chapter 2, verse 15, that when Indians accept the Mormon teaching, they will become a white and delightsome people. Now, do you really understand what that's saying? The dark skin and the wild culture of the Indians is ungodly and evil. Now, think about that for just a moment. Isn't that promoting racism at the highest extreme? White being the only race that is pure and bright? That's not what God says. That's not what the Scripture teaches. And so, again, another thing about the Book of Mormon, which is just not scientifically true. 3 Nephi chapter 20, verse 16, and chapter 21, verse 12, both say, lions are beasts of the forest. There aren't any lions in the forest. Lions live in the savannah, not in the forest. That's scientifically proven. We know that. We have cataloged where they are. People have studied that, and there aren't any in the forest. Another proof showing the Book of Mormon's not true. The Book of Mormon in 1 Nephi chapter 13, verse 7, Alma chapter 4, verse 6, and in Esther chapter 9, verse 17, and 10:24, all say silk was produced in the Americas. Especially at the writing of the time of this book, supposedly, there was no silk produced in the Americas, it all was imported from Asia. That's a historical fact. That's a well-known truth. So again, we see the Book of Mormon doesn't fit with science, doesn't fit with these things. The Book of Mormon defies common literary and grammatical rules. Did you know that from the time the 1830 version of the Book of Mormon was written, there have been 3,913 changes made to that book. We're not talking about little commas or periods or dotting the I. Words have been added. Words have been removed. Double negatives have been corrected. Blatantly misspelled words are corrected. There have been blatant facts and error that have been taken out. Others that have been put in to make it right. 3,913 changes made to a book that is supposedly from God. The God of the Bible didn't write this book. God Himself is perfect, and the book that He wrote is perfect. And so the Book of Mormon is seen not to be from God because it is a book fraught, full of errors, and had to be constantly corrected to be made right. The Book of Mormon is also not from God because it defies simple common sense. For example, in Ether chapter 2, verses 17 through 22, you have this account. When the immigrants are preparing to come to the supposedly new world, God, supposedly in the Book of Mormon, told them to make 8 airtight square vessels. When Jared complained about their dying from a lack of oxygen, here's what God told him. God told him, you cut a hole in the top and one in the bottom of every ship and plug them up. When you began to suffocate, they were to open one of the holes, and if they opened one of the holes and water gushed in, they could know they had the wrong hole. Now, friend, I want you to stop and just think about all that for a moment. Build 8 airtight vessels, square, make a hole in the top and the bottom. If you take the plug out and it starts to fill with water, plug it up before you die. Why didn't God just tell them what end was up and what plug to take out? Why didn't God tell them how to do that? Why did they have to go through this testing process? This doesn't even make good common sense for things like this. Also, 2 Nephi chapter 13, verse 24, defies common sense. It says that baldness is actually caused by sin. Sin causes people to go bald. Well, we know that's not the case. Certain hormones that a person may have often cause a person to go bald. It may be hereditary, but sin is not attributed to baldness, and there are people who are some of the grossest sinners in the world who've got lots of hair, and there are people who are bald and don't have lots of and who don't have sin often in their life. And so this defies even common sense. We think about these things and think square ships with holes in the bottom of them and water gushes in, baldness caused by sin. Again, it doesn't even make good common sense among people today. The Book of Mormon is also a book that contradicts itself. God's Word in the Book of Mormon is said to be unchangeable. For example, I want you to notice this passage. The Book of Mormon in Alma chapter 41 and verse 8 says this, "Now the decrees of God are unalterable. Therefore the way is prepared that whoever will walk may walk in it therein and be saved." And so in Alma chapter 41, verse 8, the Book of Mormon said, God's decrees are unalterable. They cannot be changed. They stand forever. Now, let's see if the Book of Mormon continues that theme. Actually, we learn in the Book of Mormon, chapter 56, verses 4 and 5, that God made a prophecy, and He said this, "Wherefore I, the Lord, command and revoke, as it seemeth me good, and all that is to be answered upon the heads of the rebellious, said the Lord, wherefore I revoke the commandment which was given to my servant Thomas B. Marsh and Ezra Thayer, and give a new commandment unto my servant Thomas, that he shall take up his journey speedily to the land of Missouri, and with that servant, Miss Griffin shall also, Selah J. Griffin shall also go with him." God said in the Book of Mormon, first of all, my commandments are unalterable. And then something changed, and God said, I revoke that commandment, I'm changing it. Here's what I want you to do. Well, I thought God's commandments were unalterable. And yet the Book of Mormon has God saying at one time, it never changes. And then another time, I changed it. That is not something that is fair throughout the Scripture, throughout the Book of Mormon. It's not something that holds the test of good, solid evidence. We also know that the Book of Mormon contradicts itself because of the multiple wife issue that is found both to be for in the Book of Mormon and against that. For example, in Jacob chapter 2 and verse 24, God condemns multiple wives. The Scripture, the Book of Mormon says, "Behold, David and Solomon truly had many wives and concubines," and notice this, which thing was abominable before me, saith the Lord. And so God says of David and Solomon, it was abominable that they had many wives and concubines. That was not right. I didn't approve of it. That was sin. It's condemned. Only problem with that is, we open to the Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants, section 132, beginning in verse 1, and here's what it says. Verily, thus saith the Lord, unto you my servant Joseph, that inasmuch as you have inquired of my hand to know and understand wherein I, the Lord, listen, justified my servants Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, now watch this, David and Solomon, my servants, as touching the principle and doctrine of their having many wives and concubines. And you just can't have it both ways. If God says of David and Solomon in Jacob chapter 2, verse 24, their multiple wives were an abomination, and then in Doctrine and Covenants, section 132, verse 1, He says, I justified David and Solomon. You've got one of two things. All you can have is one of two things. Either God contradicts Himself, or, and this is where it is, the Book of Mormon contradicts itself, and God did not write the Book of Mormon. You know, the Book of Mormon is also a book that contradicts clear teachings of the Bible. In fact, clear facts of the Bible that have been backed up by history itself. For example, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible says that Jesus is the only head of the church. He's the head of the church. Matthew 28, verse 18, He's got all authority. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, He is the head of the body. And thus in Scripture, Jesus is the only one with preeminence, the only head of the church. And yet in Doctrine and Covenants, chapter 28, verses 2 through 6, Joseph Smith is the head of the Mormon church. Now, can you have it both ways? Can Jesus be the only preeminent one who is the head of the church and Joseph Smith also be head of the church? You can't have it both ways. If we've already shown Joseph Smith to be a liar and a false prophet, then let's put our trust in Jesus, who was the perfect sinless Son of God. Now, here's one of the more glaring examples of a Mormon contradiction. The Bible says in Matthew 2 and verse 1 and in Matthew 21 verse 17 that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. They were going to census along the way. Jesus' mother is in the inn, the manger, and there's no room in the inn, so she goes to the manger and Jesus is born in Bethlehem. That's not only a biblical fact, there's historical evidence to back that up. The only problem is, in Alma chapter 7, verse 10, the Book of Mormon prophesied of Jesus, He would be born of Mary at Jerusalem. Now, wait a minute. You've either got to believe the Book of Mormon at Jerusalem or the Bible at Bethlehem. Mormons often claim this book and this book go hand in hand. The Bible is a good book and the Book of Mormon is a companion good book, another testament, and they teach the same thing. Don't buy that lie. The Book of Mormon blatantly contradicts the Bible, and the Bible is backed up by historical evidence. The Book of Mormon is not. Let's give you another example. The Scriptures teach, and it has been historically proven, that the church began in the year A.D. 30, somewhere between A.D. 30 and A.D. 33. Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, I'll build my church. Acts chapter 2, when the first gospel sermon was preached, we know that people were added to the church. Acts 2, verse 47. Now, that's when the New Testament teaches the church started. Yet in the Book of Mormon, Mosiah, chapter 18, verse 17, the Book of Mormon says the church began in 147 B.C. Now think about that for a moment. What has yet to happen at 147 B.C.? Jesus hasn't even been born yet. He hasn't lived a perfect life. He hasn't died. The gospel's not been preached, and the church has not been started. In the Book of Mormon, you've got the church of Jesus Christ starting almost 175 years before Jesus died on the cross and the church came into existence. How can you have that? You cannot have both. And thus, we need to stick to the claim and the truthfulness of the New Testament. Well, here's another very clear and blatant error that the Book of Mormon makes. In the Bible, Acts chapter 11, verse 26, which is recorded around the year 40 A.D., disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. And yet, when we open the Book of Mormon, We look to Alma chapter 46, verses 13 through 16, and supposedly written in 73 B.C., it refers to Nephites as Christians. Now stop and think about that again. 73 B.C., what's yet to happen? This is 73 years before Jesus is born. This is 100 years before the gospel has been preached, the first gospel sermon has been preached, and anybody's been added to the church. In the Book of Mormon, 100 years before Christ has died on the cross, the gospel's been preached, you've got Christians. How can such be the case? You can't have Christians that many years before Christ and Christianity comes into existence. So what can we know about the Book of Mormon? You can know Joseph Smith was a false prophet and he cannot be trusted. You can know the Book of Mormon defies science, it defies common sense, and it contradicts itself. And you can know that the Book of Mormon is in direct opposition to the Bible and clear historical facts. It is not of God. It is the fabrication and the makeup, the make-believe of Joseph Smith. And listen, it is one of the greatest religious hoaxes that has ever been perpetuated upon mankind. If you buy into this and you put your immortal soul, the trust of it, in this book, my friend, you are going to perish in the day of judgment. The Book of Mormon can't save you. Mormon doctrine cannot get you to heaven. The only way you can be saved is by the Bible and the teaching of Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Remember, there is no other gospel outside the words of Jesus Christ, and if you will submit your life to it, not the Book of Mormon, but the gospel, and obey it, you can be saved and be right with God. Our prayer is that you will do just that today.